I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It is so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Yes, we are really entering into winter now. We are feeling the cold. And so fast, winter has come. And then soon, winter will be over, and then we'll be entering to spring, and then we'll be going into another new year. You see how quickly time passes. And so every day we must be taking stock as to what we have been doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. For soon the day will come when night is come upon us. The day is over. The day of service is over. So while we still have life and the ability to serve, my dear friends, let us serve zealously so that when the Lord returns, we may be able to hear him say to us, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Now the topic this morning is a striking question, a striking answer, a striking day, and a striking prophecy. I speak from Luke chapter 13, verses 22 to verse 30. Sometimes people ask questions which are really quite striking, without realizing how striking the questions can be. For example, you could have an unbeliever. He doesn't believe it. He doesn't believe in any religion at all. But he may ask a very striking question such as, "When will Jesus return?" Now he asks that question not because he has any spiritual interest, because he's not a believer. He may ask the question because he has got an academic interest. Maybe he wants to write a thesis to earn some academic recognition, a thesis on the believers, what people believe in regards to doomsday. Or there could be people who ask that kind of question out of an economic motive. They want to make money because they want to write a book or they want to write a paper on the beliefs in regards to the end time. And so people do ask such questions, and such questions can be very, very striking, but those people who ask those questions do not realize how striking their questions can be. Now here in verse 23, we read of a person asking a very, very striking question. Luke chapter 13, verse 23. He actually asked a very striking question of the Lord Jesus Christ. You look at verse 23. "Then said one," this person asked him is Jesus, "Lord, are there few that be saved?" In other words, is it true that only few people will be saved? Now, this is a very striking question. Is it true, Lord, that only few would be saved? Of course, this man might not realize that the question that he asked was indeed a very striking question. Now, we do not know the identity of this man. He could have been a very religious Jew, one who was very self-righteous, one who was observing the laws and who believed that his observance of the law was so good to the extent that he had already earned a place in heaven. Yes. Now, all the question could have come forth from one who was very, very curious. Yes, do we not come across such people? They ask questions simply out of curiosity, not because they want to be enlightened spiritually. And so they engage themselves in speculative thoughts. And so they ask such questions. And these questions, of course, the answers are not going to benefit them spiritually because they really have no spiritual interest. They ask simply to satisfy their curiosity. Now, whatever the reason may be or whatever the motive this questioner had, his question was surely very striking. "Lord, are there few that be saved?" Now, it is an important question. That's why it's so striking, right? Now, let this question strike you this morning. "Lord, are there few that be saved?" Yes, let this question strike you and cause you to hear what the Lord Jesus Christ has to say in regards to the number of people that will be saved. In the passage that we read earlier on by our chairman from Matthew chapter 7, in verse 14 we read, "Because straight is the gate Now the word straight, straight does not mean straight. All right, it means narrow. So narrow is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life. And few there be that find it. Only few find it. It is a narrow, narrow way. Yes. Now, let us understand that the Lord does not take pleasure in condemning the wicked. No, he does not. And we read this truth in Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 11. I read for you. Ezekiel 33, 11. The Lord said these words through Ezekiel. As I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways. In other words, repent, repent. For why will ye die, O house of Israel? So we see the Lord has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. Yes, it is true. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Yes, but few will be saved. And only few would be saved. Why? Because the wicked desire to continue to be wicked, and the unrepentant desire to continue to be unrepentant. I pray and I hope this morning that you will be struck by this truth spoken by the Lord. Yes, only few would be saved. I pray that you ask yourself this question, am I one of the few that will be saved? I trust, my dear friends, that you will ask this question and come to the conclusion without any doubt at all that you are saved. Yes, and that you will not have to spend eternity in eternal hell and eternal punishment. Now, I know we have many questions to ask concerning the faith, because every time we have a discussion on the Word of God, there are people raise many questions. Now, I encourage you to ask. But don't just ask the question out of curiosity. I don't mean to say that you can't be curious, but don't just ask the question of curiosity. Yes, don't just ask for academic interest. Because if you ask the question out of curiosity, the answer just satisfies your curiosity. If you ask the question out of academic interest, at best is your mind will be fed. Yes, what you will have will be an increase in head knowledge, but not heart knowledge. The answer will not profit you spiritually. And you will end up like those people described for us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, which says, people who are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. They ask and they learn, they ask and they learn. They only increase their head knowledge. They never ever come to the truth. So do ask questions, but with the purpose of getting answers. For what purpose? To build yourself up in the faith, and to build other people up in the faith. So at a Bible study, let us ask these kind of questions, questions that will build ourselves up in the faith, and also build up other people in the faith. So we talk about this striking question asked by this man, the question, Lord, is it true that few will be saved? Now, to this very striking question, let us see the Lord's giving a striking answer. Alright? Now look at the answer. Verse 24, Luke chapter 13. It's a striking answer. Verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Remember, the word straight means narrow. Enter in at the narrow gate. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. The Lord's answer was striking because the Lord didn't give this man a direct answer. If his answer was direct, he would have said, yeah, true, few will be saved. But no, the Lord said, strive to enter in at the straight gate, at the narrow gate. Yes, I say unto you, yes, there are many that will seek, but not many will be able to enter in. Now, the Lord answered the question not to satisfy the curiosity of this man, but he really wanted him and all the hearers to understand what the most pressing duty was. What was the most pressing duty? Was it knowing how many people would be saved, knowing few would be saved, or knowing many would be saved? That was not the most pressing duty. Their most pressing duty was to strive at the narrow gate, so that they would be able to enter through this narrow gate to enter into the kingdom of God. Yes, that was what their chief concern should be. Their chief concern should be the well-being of their souls. Yes, they should be asking themselves, am I saved or am I not saved? That is the real question that they must be asking themselves. Yes, and they should make it very, very certain that they are saved by striving at this narrow gate and ensuring that they have gotten in through this narrow gate. Now, people like to ask questions like this. Again, ask questions out of curiosity. What about the people who have never heard of the gospel? Will they be saved? Yes, lots of people like to ask this kind of questions. Now, it's not that this is a bad question to ask, but again, getting the answer to this question is not the most pressing duty. The most pressing duty for the questioner is whether or not he is a true believer in the Lord, whether he should determine whether he's a true believer or not in the Lord Jesus Christ. His most pressing duty should be to strive at the narrow gate, to enter into this narrow gate into the kingdom of God. That is why the Lord gave these very, very striking words as the answer to that question this man posed. Are there few that be saved? The Lord says this in verse 24. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, at the narrow gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Now, why have we got to strive? Why have we got to strive to enter in at the narrow gate? Now, we have to strive because the enemies of our soul are many. Now, consider these enemies that we have, the attractions of the world. They can easily pull us away from this narrow gate at which we are to enter. Yes, I told you about this young man some time ago. Yes, this young man I met many years ago. I was, of course, at that time young also. And it was after the conclusion of a gospel meeting. And I was supposed to be one of the counselors at the gospel meeting. And I met this young man. I was young then also. Then we went through the review of the gospel message. Then I asked him whether or not he wanted to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior. This man said no. And he was very sincere, he was very honest, and he was actually a very nice fellow. So I asked him the next question, why won't you want to come to believe in Jesus? And he gave me this answer which I never forgot up to today. I don't want the world to pass me by. That was what he said. I don't want the world to pass me by. In other words, he wanted to enjoy the world. He wanted to enjoy the pleasures of the world. Yes, he didn't want the world to pass him by. He wanted to enjoy the status that he could have in the world. Now, I didn't ask him to explain or to explain what he meant when he said that. I didn't care to ask him to elaborate on what he understood by the world. But I guess what he meant was this. He was talking about his career, about his girlfriend, perhaps talking about his hobbies, the many pleasures that he had. He did not want to give any of this up. Yes, those were more important to him. Now, those things would comprise the world. Yes, because those things were actually pulling him away from the narrow gate, from the one true living God. Now, so the world is one of our enemies. Now, apart from the world, we have another great enemy. Of course, this great enemy is none other than the devil. He will tempt us to succumb to the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He will tempt us to succumb to our strong desires. Lust means strong desires, powerful desires, to satisfy our desires. He will tempt us to satisfy our desires. He will tempt us to satisfy ourselves by having those things that we see. Yes, he will tempt us to satisfy the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh. He will tempt us to satisfy to desire to satisfy our sinful nature. And he will tempt us to be lifted up with pride. Now, the aim of his temptations, of course, is to draw us away from this narrow gate. It is to draw us away from the one true living God, so that we will not enter in at the gate and get into heaven. But friends, we must strive. Yes, we must strive to enter in at the straight gate, because that is the gate of life, my dear friends. That is our most pressing duty. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. But what is strive? Now, to strive means to struggle, it means to agonize, and we must be up and about to up and about. That's what is meant by to strive. We cannot sit still, but to get up and to be up and about. And we are not to wait for anybody to go ahead of us to enter into this straight and narrow gate before we get in. No, my dear friends, we are to strive. We do not wait for anybody. Today, of course, if we want to go to a concert, for example, if your friends and your loved ones are going with you, you possibly will wait for one another, isn't it true? Yes. Or you are waiting to board a bus. If you are one who is very, very courteous, you let other people get in first. Or you will go with your loved ones. You say, oh, you go in first and I follow after. We'll wait for one another. Out of courtesy, out of love for others, we let others go in first. But friends, as far as getting into heaven is concerned, we strive. We don't wait for anyone. Now, I know I know in the giving of the gospel to people, sometimes I get this kind of answer. If I give the gospel to a lady, she might say this, oh, I wait till my husband comes to believe, then I'll believe. Is that true? Have we come across such people? Or you talk to the man might say, oh, I wait till my wife comes to believe, then I'll come to believe. Or you talk to parents, they might say, oh, I wait till my children come to believe. I wait till they grow up, they come to believe. Then we'll come to believe. Or children may say, oh, I wait till my parents come to believe, then we'll come to believe. No, my dear friends, as far as entering into the kingdom of heaven is concerned, as far as entering at the straight gate is concerned, we don't wait for one another. We strive to get in. Now let me try to explain further what is meant by striving. It could be an extreme example, but it is striving. I could have given you this example before. Yes, some years ago, I remember going to our stadium in Singapore to watch a football game. Right, I was then a young man going to watch this football game, and we watched this football game at a very old stadium known as the Jalan Besar Stadium. I do not know whether you know that stadium or not. In those days, we didn't have the national stadium, but this Jalan Besar Stadium. The stadium could only take something like 40,000 spectators. But on that day, the game was very, very crucial for Singapore. And there were something like 20 to 22,000 people who were wanting to get into the stadium. And of course, lots of people had already gotten in. I remember it was drizzling at that time, and I carried an umbrella, and I carried the umbrella under my arms. And then we were queuing up. Of course, we had to go in one by one because we had to go to the turnstile. And you guess what? When the turnstile was within sight, I could see it was within sight already. All of a sudden, the stadium personnel decided to shut the gate. Can you imagine that? I say, it was a very, very terrible experience because the crowd literally went berserk. Yes, they wanted to get in and they couldn't get in. And they were so angry, and the people behind started pushing. And then they pushed and they pushed. I remember I was lifted off the ground and just moved along, carried along. I can tell you this, it wasn't funny at that time. All right, now I think of it, it was quite funny. But it wasn't funny at that time because if the gate wasn't open, we'll be crushed to death, for sure. Because the crowd had gone berserk. But thankfully, the personnel of the stadium decided to open the gate again. How thankful we were. Now I ask you, if you were in my shoes at that time, would you still take it easy to get into the stadium? Or would you strive to get in? I can tell you 100% you will strive to get in, because you will be so fearful that the gate might be shut again and that people will be surging from behind. You'll be crushed to death. So you would strive to get in. Friends, that is what is meant by striving. Striving to get into the kingdom of God. Striving to enter in at the narrow gate. And it was really narrow at the stadium because you could only enter in one at a time. My dear friends, that is what we must do in entering into the kingdom of God. We must strive to get in. Sure, you want your family members to get in. Sure, you want your friends to get in. But friends, get in first, and then be a good testimony. Live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and make it attractive for people to come to trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, for some to get in means a big strife, because it is a struggle of making a decision as to whether or not you are prepared to be persecuted. Now, of course, here in Australia today, we hardly hear of persecution, but persecution will definitely come someday. We discussed that yesterday at our Westminster Confession Study, because the world is increasingly anti-God and anti-Christian. So persecution will definitely come, right? Don't expect it not to come. It will definitely come. But in the case of Singapore, for years, we have been experiencing persecution, not from the government or not from anybody, but really persecution from our own parents. Yes, if they are unbelievers, and if you were to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and if they are Buddhists, they might be so angry with you that they threaten to disown you, or sometimes they actually disown you. Yes, so if a person wanted to come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he has to struggle very, very hard whether to make the decision for Christ or not, whether to enter in at the straight and narrow gate or not. Because if he chose to enter in, then he would be persecuted. So for that person, it is really a strife to get in at the narrow gate. Then for others, yes, it is a great struggle to enter into the kingdom of God because, yes, it means striving hard to give up the pleasure of the world. The pleasures of the world are so great, so wonderful, too pleasurable to give up. And so it is a struggle, it is a strife to enter in at the straight gate. Then for others, it is a strife, a great struggle to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, because believing in the Lord Jesus Christ might mean that the person have to give up his job, because the job requires him to compromise his Christian principles. So it is a hard decision for him to make whether or not he should take the step to believe in Jesus Christ. Yes, indeed, it is a strife for him to enter in at the straight gate. For others, it is a strife because it is a struggle to make a decision whether or not the person is prepared to experience loneliness. Because when a person comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he almost certainly have to dissociate himself from his non-Christian friends, simply because the non-Christian friends and him will have different kinds of values, different kinds of interests, yes, different kinds of morality. So they may have to part ways. And so he realizes that if he comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, he may have to experience a loneliness. So you see, entering in through the narrow gate is a strife for many people. Now the Word of God, of course, teaches us that salvation is by grace through faith. And I believe that salvation is by grace through faith. You cannot work to earn for your salvation. No, but we are not to sit still in our worldliness, in our sin, and wait for the grace of God to fall upon us. No, friends, we must get up and repent from our sins and receive this salvation grace. In other words, we must take action. We must strive. Now, we see this strife, this action clearly taken by the prodigal son in the parable of the prodigal son told by our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, I read for you from Luke chapter 15, verse 18 to verse 19. All right, just read for you. You don't have to refer to these verses. I read for you. This prodigal son came to his senses and he said this, "I will arise and go to my father." You see, he took action. He just didn't continue to sit in his pig pen to wait for his father to rescue him. No, he said, "I will arise and go to my father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of the hired servants." And he arose. You see, and he rose. And he came to his father. And when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. So you see, he took action. He made the effort. He arose and came to his father. And friends, that is exactly what we must do. we must strive to enter in at the narrow gate. Yes, it is true we are saved by grace through faith, but after we have been saved, we have to continue to strive. We have to continue to strive to walk the narrow way. We have to strive to show forth fruits of righteousness and fruits of repentance. Show forth to the world the work of grace that God has already done in our hearts. So we must show forth our faith, yes, by working out our salvation with fear and with trembling. We don't work for our salvation, but we work out our salvation that has already been given to us with fear and with trembling. Now, friends, if we do not work out our salvation with fear and with trembling, we do not produce fruits of righteousness and fruits of repentance. Now, listen to what the Lord Jesus Christ says. Right? It may be that we are not true believers. That's why we are not producing the fruits that we are required to produce. Luke 6, 43 and 44. Let me read for you these two verses. You don't have to refer to them. Let me read for you. For a good tree bringeth forth not corrupt fruit. A good tree doesn't bring forth corrupt fruit. Neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. A corrupt tree can never bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. Grapes don't come from bramble bush. They don't come from wild bushes, but they come from grapevines. Yes, only grapevines will produce grapes. Likewise, my dear friends, if only true believers will produce fruits of righteousness and fruits of repentance, you don't show them, it might be a manifestation that you are not a true believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. So you see how needful it is that we strive as we walk this narrow way in the kingdom of God. So the teaching is clear. We are to strive to enter in at the straight gate, and after we come to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to continue to strive to show forth fruits of righteousness and fruits of repentance. So we have talked about the striking question asked by this man, are there few that be saved? And the Lord gives this striking answer, strive to enter in at the straight gate. Now let's talk about the striking day. Look at verse 25, the striking day. Verse 25, when once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and he begin to stand outside and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. Yes, I do not know where you come from. I do not know you. I do not know where you come from. Now, one commentator says that these verses refer to a wedding feast. Let me read you what this commentator says. He says, the feast was celebrated at night. The house was filled with lights. Those admitted had the benefit of the lights, but those who were not were excluded from the lights and had to stay in outer darkness. The guests entered by a narrow wicket gate at which the porter or the gatekeeper stood to prevent people from rushing in. When all the guests had arrived, the door would be shut and not open to those outside, however hard they knocked. My dear friends, someday this is going to happen. It's going to be a striking day because the door of salvation will have been shut. My dear friends, that is a striking day. The door of salvation will be shut. Now it is true, our God is long-suffering. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And that's absolutely true. That is why it makes that day so striking. Because on that day, it is very, very striking because his long-suffering will have come to an end. Long-suffering, it keeps on going and going. But one day, this long-suffering will come to an end. That's why that day is so striking. The door of salvation will be shut. And then the throne of grace that is so readily available today to anyone who wants to come to that throne of grace, to Jesus Christ, on that day, my dear friends, will be replaced by the throne of judgment. Yes, and those who do not care to strive to get in, or those who did not care to strive in, my dear friends, will have to be set outside the gate to face the wrath of the one true living God. Even the wrath of the Lamb, the wrath of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now it will be a striking day, because on that day, there is going to be a sharp contrast between those who strove to enter in at the gate and those who did not strive and were shut out. There's a big contrast between these two groups of people. Those who strove and got in will be rejoicing. They'll be resting in the kingdom of God. They'll be sitting down, resting in the kingdom of God, enjoying their eternal rest in the presence of the one true living God. And they will be enjoying eternal bliss, enjoying eternal blessings, joy, peace, wonderful things from the one true living God. And so we read in verse 29. And it shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. They will be enjoying eternal rest in the presence of the one true living God. And they would include believers from all over the world. They will include Gentiles and Jews. They will come from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. But those who are unbelievers, who didn't strive to enter in at the gate, will be shut out of the kingdom of God. They will be entering into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They will be tormented day and night for all eternity. Now we see a similar contrast during the time of Noah. Now during the time of Noah, God saw the abominable condition of planet Earth. We read in Genesis 6:5, which says, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." Yes, in that condition, God, through Noah, gave people an opportunity to repent and to be saved. Those who entered into the ark were saved, but those who did not, of course, perished. Now, if they believed Noah, they would have strived to enter into the ark. But of course, they didn't. So finally, God shut the door of the ark. Now, it was not anyone who shut the door of the ark. It was God himself. And we read this truth actually in Genesis 7:16. I read for you. Genesis 7:16. "And they that went in, male and female of all flesh, as God had commanded him. And the Lord shut him in." The Lord shut Noah in. So it was God who shut the door of the ark. Now, in this parable told by the Lord, again, I'd like us to see this striking action taken on this striking day. The striking action was taken by the master of the house. I'd like us to see that, or at least at the order of the master of the house. Verse 25, you look at Luke 13 and look at verse 25. It was none else but the master who did it. Verse 25, "When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door." You see, he is risen up and he has shut to the door, which means that he either shut it himself or he ordered somebody else to shut the door. "And he began to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are." I do not know you. I do not know where you come from. Yes. Who shuts the door? As we said, it is the Lord. It is the Lord who shuts the door. Now, how could anyone open the door if God himself shuts the door? There's no way anyone can open the door. God shuts it and that's it. But today, my dear friends, God is very kind. God is very gracious. He offers us salvation. Yes, he gives us this invitation to all those of us here who are still outside the kingdom of God, who has never strived to enter in at the straight gate. This invitation is given to you. God says through the prophet Isaiah, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." This is the invitation given by the one true living God. Come now and let us reason together. Now every time you hear the gospel given to you, this invitation is given to you. Did you realize that? Yes, the door of salvation, as it were, is flung open to you for you to enter in. Of course, you have to strive to get in. It's open for you to get in. Yes, available to you. Now it is true, God is long-suffering. But if you keep on resisting this invitation and would not respond to this invitation given to you, something is going to happen to you. You see, your heart is going to harden progressively. Yes, and a time will come when God will have to shut his gate of salvation on you. By which time, my dear friends, he would have given you over to what is known as a reprobate mind. You know what a reprobate mind is? It is a totally depraved mind. A mind that is totally incapable of repenting. You want to repent, you're not able to repent. You want to believe, you're not able to believe. That is what a reprobate mind is. And when that stage comes, my dear friends, that's the end of you. Yes, end of you in the sense that you will be cast into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Yes, you will have to be cast into eternal damnation where you will be tormented day and night for all eternity. Now, these are not my words, my dear friends. These are serious words, words from the Word of God. I pray that you take heed that there is such a thing as this striking day that will come. The day on which God will shut his door of salvation, the day when his long-suffering will come to an end. Now, I'd like us to see next a striking prophecy. So we have talked about a striking question, a striking answer, a striking day. Now let's talk about the striking prophecy made by the Lord. Verses 24 and 25. Strive to enter in at the straight gate, for many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Verse 25. When once the master of the house is risen up and has shut to the door, and you begin to stand without and to knock at the door, saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. And he shall answer and say unto you, I know you not whence you are. I do not know where you come from. I do not know you. Now this striking prophecy will surely come. All right, look at this prophecy that will be fulfilled on this day. All right, look at verses 26-27. Then shall he begin to say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. This is going to happen someday. All right, many people will say, we have eaten and drunk in thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. But he shall say, I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. Whence you are means, I do not know where you come from. I do not know you, in other words. Depart from me, all ye workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth when ye shall see Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves thrust out. Now you could plead on that day, Lord, we have eaten and drunk at thy presence, and thou hast taught in our streets. It's like saying, Lord, did you not know that actually we attended Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church? Did you not know, Lord, that we heard messages preached from the pulpit Sunday after Sunday after out of your word of life? Lord, did you not know that actually I was baptized in the church, Sydney Bible Presbyterian Church? Lord, did you not know that when the Lord's Supper was served, I partook of the Lord's Supper? But you know, on that day, the Lord might have to sadly say this to you. I tell you, I know you not whence you are. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. My dear friends, all because you actually did not strive to enter into the kingdom of God at the straight and narrow gate. When the door of salvation is shut on you, when heaven's gate is closed to you, you see that actually that was the right thing to do, and it was to strive to enter in at the narrow gate, but you didn't do it. So now it's too late, even if you want to do it. The striking prophecy given by the Lord, I trust, my dear friends, will strike us so hard today that if we haven't repented from our sins, we'll repent today. Will you not today strive hard to enter in at the straight gate, make this decision and say, Lord, I truly, truly want to repent from my sins. I want to trust you as my Lord and Savior. I want to live the life that you want me to live. And come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Trust that he shed his precious blood for you on the cross of Calvary. Remember, this prophecy will surely be fulfilled. One day, people are going to say, Lord, Lord, I did this, I did that, and so on and so forth. But the Lord is going to say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Years ago, a group of civil engineers came to a little town in Pennsylvania and went up into the mountains and examined the dam that controlled the waters of the stream that flowed down the valley. They came back to the valley sometime later and said to the people of the town, the dam is unsafe. The people of this town are in danger. People in this valley are in danger. The people said to these engineers, hey, you don't scare us, you know, we don't believe you. Then at autumn, these same men, these same engineers came back to the valley, examined the dam again, and said to the people in the valley, we warn you people, you are in danger every hour. The men in the valley laughed again and said, scare us if you can. Yes, and the men went away, and they came back in spring. A few months later, they came back and warned the people again. But the people said, that's a chance we are prepared to take, they said. We have been hearing this warning so many times over. Scare us if you can. In other words, we don't believe you. Scare us if you can. And 15 days later, a boy with his horse came dashing down into the valley and shouted, run for your lives! The dam is gone. The water is coming down. The people only laughed at him. The boy did not wait to hear the laughter. He went down the valley still shouting the warning. In a few minutes, the water rushed into the valley, and in 30 minutes, the town of Johnstown was ruined, and 3,700 people perished in the flood. Yes, my dear friends, this prophecy concerning the day when the door will be shut, concerning the day when people will be pleading to the Lord, 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 we don't you know we did this and so on and so forth, and the Lord is going to say, I never knew you. This prophecy is going to be fulfilled. Yes, I pray that this prophecy will strike your heart today, and that you would surely want to come to believe in Jesus as Lord and Savior, and I trust that this warning given to you today will cause you to say, Lord, I really want to enter in at this straight and narrow gate. Now, look at verse 29. And it shall come from the east and from the west, and from the north and from the south, and shall sit down in the kingdom of God. And behold, there are last which shall be first, and there are first which shall be last. Now, these two verses are talking about the Gospels being given, first of all, to the Jews. They were the people who were favored. They were given the gospel first. But the Jews rejected the gospel. Yes, they didn't want Jesus to be their Messiah, or they didn't want to acknowledge him to be their Messiah. And when Jesus came into their midst, they received him not. So the word of God says. And so the gospel went on to the Gentiles. The Gentiles were more receptive of the gospel. So they that were last became first. The first, the Jews who were first, became last. Now, but these two verses also speak about our priority, about priority of things to people. All right. First, it talks about these two classes of people, but this parable, these two verses also talk about priority of things to people. To those who do not strive to enter in at the narrow gate, what are things that are of primary importance to them? Those things that they regarded as number one in their lives, possibly money. Possibly status, social status, economic status, possibly goodness of a reputation, possibly the pleasures of this world. All these things occupy first place in their lives. Now, what about spiritual things? To them, spiritual things are things of no importance at all. In fact, they might despise such things, and they might laugh at them, and they might ridicule them. Yes. Things such as believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, things such as living for the Lord Jesus Christ, things such as prayer, serving the one true living God, these things are not important at all to them. They'll laugh at them, ridicule people who regard these as things that are very, very important. But friends, the day will come when the order will be reversed. These things that are regarded as not important, despised, will become very, very important. People will see that they are actually very, very important, and they should have regarded them with great importance. because those people who had strived to enter in at the narrow gate, those who live for the Lord Jesus Christ, will have entered into the kingdom of God. But those who put other things first, social status, money first, and spiritual things not regarded at all, will see that those things are last, not important at all, because they will then be they will not have entered into the kingdom of God, but they will be placed outside the kingdom of God, and they will be experiencing what is known as the weeping and gnashing of teeth. Friends, this morning, are you struck by this question? I hope you are. Lord, are there few that be saved? Indeed, there are. Only the remnant will be saved. But the most important question that we need to address when we look at this question is, are we numbered among the few? That is the most important question. Yes, and there are many questions concerning the faith that we like to ask. Many questions could be good questions to ask, but remember what the Lord says, getting the answers to those questions are not things of primary importance. Yeah, they are not our. It is not our most pressing duty to get the answers to these questions. The most pressing duty for us is to strive at the narrow gate, to make sure that we will get through the narrow gate and enter into the kingdom of God. Now then, if you keep postponing this pressing duty of striving to enter in at the narrow gate, the day may come when it is too late for you. It will be a striking day, because that's the day when the day of the gate of salvation will be shut, and that will be the day also when God's long suffering will come to an end. And there, my dear friends, the grim prophecy made by the Lord Jesus Christ will be fulfilled on that day, because on that day, yes, you will be crying out, Lord, Lord, we did this for you, we did that for you. But the Lord is going to say, I never knew you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Simply because you did not strive to enter in at the narrow gate. So, my dear friends, be sure that you are among the few mentioned by the Lord. The Lord says, there shall come from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south and shall sit in the kingdom of God. Make sure that you are among one of these people who will be sitting in the kingdom of God. Will you be there, my dear friends? Will I be there? Now, we will surely be there if today, if we strive at this narrow gate to enter in through this gate, and by the grace of God, make through this narrow gate to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you that you are so kind and so gracious to us. You are so long-suffering. Father, we pray that we may all realize that the gate of salvation is open to us today, and that by faith we may be able to enter in, because you are such a kind and gracious God. But we realize that we may have to strive to get through this narrow gate, because there are so many things that we might have to contend with to make this decision to enter in through this narrow gate. Father, we pray that you will grant us a special grace, and we pray that we may, Lord, be willing to come before you to repent of our sins and to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And Lord, we pray that we may take heed to this warning that there is such a thing as the striking day, when the day of salvation will come, the gate of salvation will be shut. And that there is such a thing as your prophecy will be fulfilled, the prophecy concerning this coming of this day, on which people will cry out to you to try to profess that they had actually believed in you, when in actual fact, they have not. Lord, we pray that you will help us to understand that we need today to strive to enter into this gate, so that we may be able to enjoy the salvation that you have offered to us. Cleanse us of all sins and iniquities, and draw us closer unto yourself. In Jesus' blessed name we pray and give thanks. Amen.